Hello, and welcome to From Ground to Great, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, and today I'm here with Caden Velasquez. Caden, how are you doing today, man?
What's up, Daniel? Thank you for having me here.
Dude, yeah. That's so cool that you already kind of are familiar with the area that we're recording right now. We're recording at Davis Media Access. I think it's like the first time I give them a shout out. So shout out to them because they've been awesome with me. They've been letting me record here. But you had an interview for the radio.
I did. Peter had me on his Listening Lyrics show on KDRT a few weeks ago. And that was pretty cool. It's the first time I was ever on air. So it was kind of nervous, but it was cool. It was a cool hour long little segment. Talked about music, talked about, he put on some oldies, some old songs, and he was kind of quizzing me on them.
How was that? That's kind of hard.
Is
that your genre? Older songs?
No, I mean, he pulled out some song from the 40s talking about rave music. And I was like, oh yeah, right.
What?
But roll with the punches. You gotta go. You're live. I mean, you're on air at that point. What can you do?
So that's funny. He's like, oh dude, you're putting me on, bro. This is new music for me.
Well, we ended up playing Levels by Avicii. So we went all the way from the 40s to like,
oh my god,
modern EDM.
And that was an hour long podcast?
Yep.
That sounds like
we had some music in between. It was cool.
Wow, that's cool. Or interview. That's nice, man. Well, I'm so excited for you to come on today. I definitely want, you're one of the people I've really wanted to interview and one of the few people that I've kind of talked that not just talk about wanting to create something or start a business, but you actually have done it and you've done a really good job.
Thank you.
And it's really hard to find people like that. You're definitely way farther along than what I have because you had a longer time and I'm really interested in hearing your story because not just in Davis Rave Co., which if you can explain a little bit what that is, but also with DJ Melex and how that was an outlet for you where at some point maybe you're starting gigs, but you thought something could become bigger, you know? So I kind of just want to hear a little background of like how you got into that. We'll go from there.
Yeah, of course. So DJ Melex kind of started... was it 7 years at this point, 7 years ago? I just was really interested in like DJing and music. And I grew up around music like a lot of people do. And I was just really invested in different genres and cultures. I grew up kind of moving around a lot. By the time I was in high school, I'd lived in like three different countries. It was like my 12th, 13th house that I'd moved to. So moved around a lot of different cultures, a lot of different people, a lot of different music. I think that motivated me a lot to kind of pursue DJing because I felt like it was something that I had this learned ability to do, was like understand music that might appeal to a certain crowd at different times or different events. And so I tested the waters. I kind of tried it out a little bit throughout high school and I gained this like passion for it. So that was in Ecuador. I was living for 4 years. I was living in Ecuador, started DJing there. And then I started college at UC Davis, and then I brought the DJing thing over here. And then it kind of grew a little bit because I took it more toward like the because you can take DJing a few different routes. You can go produce your own music and then become like a touring celebrity DJ, or you can become like a corporate wedding kind of DJ. It makes money easier, quicker, but you kind of have like more of a ceiling there. And so I kind of had to decide between those two routes. I ended up doing more of the corporate gigs just because they made money and that kind of helped fund me throughout college. And then recently in the past year or two, I've kind of tried to take it more toward the producing my own music, more of the artistic creative route. But somewhere along that journey, I realized that kind of this town we live in, Davis, has this like this very rich community of creatives, these people who are very, very talented and there's a lack of like an outlet for them to present and share their work. So everybody from music producers to painters to sculptors to people that make cool little crafts and just poets and I don't know, just a very eclectic group of people here in this town. And I was friends with a lot of them. And I just, like I said, I noticed that there was like this lack of ability for them to share their work. And so I started this company called Davis Rave Co. to provide like a platform for them to come together, share their work, collaborate with each other. And the way that we kind of executed that was by hosting our own events. And so we started hosting our own live concerts, produced our own shows, and we would invite these vendors to come out. We'd invite these musicians, these artists to kind of come out and create this kind of space where attendees would go to. And it would be more than just a party. It'd be more than just a concert, because it would be this atmosphere of creative people, you know, pursuing art and kind of creating this new space that didn't exist before. And so that's kind of what I envisioned when I first started Davis Rave Co. And now it's turned into something insane. It's just, it's so fast paced right now. We're growing really quickly. The team is incredible, and we're reaching goals that I never would have even thought possible when I first started this thing.
Yeah. I think you brought up a good point where Davis does have a lot of people, a lot of creatives, and yeah, their outlets aren't shared. That's why I sent you the secret spot, and I was like, oh, that might be a really good choice, and I still need to go. I wasn't able to go to the open house, but it's the exact same thing. The secret, oh, not the secret house, the secret spot.
Secret spot, yeah.
It's this new place that opened up in downtown, and it's exactly for people to put up their artwork, and then they're going to have workshops, and then they have place outdoors where they have events, and people can go and DJ. Or, you know, do live music or live bands. So it's exactly like that. And it is an interesting way. And I like the fact that you kind of were able to gauge kind of, all right, who's my audience here in Davis? And, you know, that didn't even have to be part of you being, you know, DJ Malax. It was just you being like, all right, well, if I'm going to start something, I need to know who my audience is for whatever kind of thing I'm doing, you know? And okay, well, it seems like a lot of people here have that's artists, you know, our artists have talent that just haven't been shown yet, you know. So I think that's a really cool like skill that you got and kind of just notice, you know, just kind of be aware of like your surroundings.
Yeah, something kind of really cool happens when you take people who are just very passionate about creating, building, doing new things, and you give them the resources, you give them the platform to kind of to go crazy, you know, to give them that full creative freedom. And some really cool things happen when you do that. And a product of which is Davis Rave Co. It's when you are able to facilitate a system where it's not just like one person against the world. It's like a group of creatives coming together, figuring out a way to not only like make a living off of their art, but to just collaborate and learn new things with each other, you know? And so that's like the essence of DRC is like that ability to bring people together and kind of create that platform for them to be able to share their work, to make a living off of it.
Yeah.
And to inspire others too, at the end of the day, like that's the goal too.
Yeah. I'm really impressed. And I told you that I was really happy that you ended up kind of staying and wanting to see, Davis Rave Co. kind of grow more. What was the shift really where you were like, cause it was either, you can kind of tell a story, right? It was either going to SoCal or staying and trying to grow this thing. So one was kind of like the switch where you're like, all right, well, you know, I need to make sure this gets bigger.
Yeah. So Davis Rave Co. started 2 years ago and it became an LLC 1 year ago. And we threw a few events. This time last year was really successful for us. We had two big events in January. And we were able to, they were philanthropic based events. So we ended up raising, it was $2,000 for cancer research and then $1,000 for a sports team on campus. And so that in 1 month was like crazy for me because that was the first time that we'd like profited off the business. It was like going really well. And then we had a few one-off events throughout the rest of the year. You know, spring quarter is big in here, Davis and the college scene. And then summertime hit, and then in the fall, we really ramped up. We had a few more people get involved, more help. It wasn't just me planning these events. And so fall of 2023 was big because we threw, like, our first Turtle House show. We threw the Dome Rave show. And then there was one other show we threw. I'm trying to think. Sweet and Sour. So a few big events that we threw, and using bigger venues, selling out. Better production. It was like kind of the next step. It was a level up for us. And then I knew that I was going to graduate in December, and I really just kind of wanted to relinquish every like obligation I had and just go move somewhere and start fresh and just kind of like start the journey of post-grad life. Mm-hmm. And I was really eager to do that. And then like something kept pulling at me, like there is so much potential here with this company that you've grown, this organization, this group of people who are on your side and helping you to kind of achieve this goal. They've all bought in, you know? And so during like December, winter break, I graduated, and then I had this time to kind of reflect on everything. I had perspective, I had space, I had time, which was just great to have like no obligations and just like relax for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I just realized like nobody is in like the position that I was in. I was extremely fortunate because I had something going for me, which was DRC. I graduated college. I ended up moving in with my grandparents so I could live rent-free. And everything just kind of lined up for me to pursue it full time. And I kind of asked myself, when in your life are you going to have this much freedom to pursue a project of yours without any walls, any barriers? Nothing was in my way. I could go 10 hours, 12 hours a day working at this and I'd be fine. And so that's what I did. I figured, yeah. Why not? I mean, I'm here, it's working. And then it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And every month, looking back on the past month, it's like, wow, look how far you've gotten. It's mm-hmm. It's exponential growth at this point. It's crazy. The frequency of events, like all last year, I think the total events we threw, I don't know, maybe like 10 to 12 events in 1 year.
Yeah.
And in February, we did 12 events alone.
That's so insane.
Yeah. And we're ramping up the team now. Like we have a Discord server, which is where all of our team is pretty active on. Mm-hmm. And there's over 40 people there that like help out, contribute, and you know, throw out ideas. Our core team is 7 directors, and so like we're really strong now. People are very invested in this project, and what's really cool to see is they've all taken their own perspective, their own like, how do I put this? Like their own take on what Davis Raveco means to them. Mm-hmm. And so like our community department, our head of community, Val, she's kind of taken lead on a lot of different projects that I would never have thought of, or something that she's pioneering herself. And that the head of the community department of Davis Raveco is almost like its own company itself. They are fully self-sufficient. They do their own thing. And same with like media and art and mm-hmm. like our productions department, all these other departments we have, like, that's what I want to encourage, because like we were talking about earlier, when you give creative, passionate people that freedom, that platform, those resources to kind of go crazy, if you will, they do. And they achieve really cool things. And what's created, the output, is remarkable.
So what was the process like of trying to get different like roles to expand Davis Raveco? Because you mentioned that mm-hmm. you're team is very large, mm-hmm. right? How do you manage that? And how do you get people to find out what they like and see that everything actually is working smoothly together? Because once a team gets very large, it's harder because there's less communication going on that might not be as centralized as it once was before.
Yeah. So there's a lot of dynamic that goes into leading a big team. And to be completely honest with you, I'm learning on the fly.
Yeah.
Like I'm figuring this out every day. There's something new that pops up that I have to figure out how to best handle. And so I guess to bring it back to like December, we had a few positions, but they were very fluid. Everybody was kind of helping out here and there. I guess to bring it back even further, this might be an interesting point. This time last year, I did a round of hiring and I wanted to bring people onto the team. And I found that I had developed a system. I had developed like a plan for where I wanted Davis Raveco to go. Mm-hmm. And the people that I chose to bring onto the team had their own plan and their own like idea, their own vision for Davis Raveco, which is totally fine. They have their own ideas for where they want to contribute. But my mistake was telling them, conforming their perspective to where I saw the company going. Mm. And so that ended up kind of falling through. They didn't have as much passion. They didn't have as much, they didn't buy in, which, I mean, totally understandably so. It was me kind of having this little company of mine kind of telling them at early stage, you know, when you're not able to pay people full time. And so that kind of fizzled out. And so I looked back on that and I realized that in order for me to grow this organization, I had to give up a significant amount of direction that I had. And I retained a little bit of it. I have like a standard and a vague direction of where I'd like to take this organization. But at the end of the day, I think it becomes this game of balancing between allowing other people to give their creative input and allow them to contribute their passion, their perspective toward where they see the organization going while still maintaining what you want to do with the organization. You know, it's kind of like this intricate, this very delicate balance, because you tell people to do something and then you just become like a dictator. And then it's like, I'm here. This is where I want the company going. And this is where you should, this is what you should be doing. But I don't like that approach at all, because like I said, I mean, you have to like accept that at one point the company is no longer completely yours. You know, you have to give up control. Yeah. You have to give up those freedoms for other people to learn on their own, to allow them to make mistakes, allow them to grow and kind of figure out where they want to be in the organization, how they want to contribute. And so contrast to the first round of hiring that I did in February, instead of like a round of hiring, it was more just like we would host these community meetups over at, because we hosted and you've been to these before, but the once a month Kava shows that we did. And so that attracted a lot of new people. And as we gained momentum, gained traction, we would host these community meetups. And there was no agenda. There was no itinerary. Nothing about it was structured. We would just say, hey, we're meeting up here from this time to this time. Come say hi. Come talk to us. Come meet us. And by us, like, it was really just me and some friends that I was with that was, like, throwing these events. And so nothing, like I said, nothing formal about it. People would just come out and, like, we'd conversate and people would throw out ideas. And more and more of the same people started showing up. Mm-hmm. And after their ideas and perspectives were implemented, they felt like they had already become a part of DRC. And so that then became really easy come like January, when I did more of like an official onboarding for people. It was like, hey, you've excelled in providing input and contributing in this category, productions per se, so like sound and lighting and setting up equipment. I would like to promote you, or I'd like to make you the director of productions. I want to give you this department for you to lead. And same thing happened with like I was saying, the community department. And then so that was just somebody that I met in a journalism class who had expressed interest in what we were doing. And you just kind of cultivate those interpersonal relationships where you allow people to kind of contribute to what you're doing and allow them to provide input. And you see where that goes, because at the end of the day, like, that's, they're helping you. They want to be a part of what you're doing. And so then it became up to me to give up that part of the company to say, hey, you are very passionate about this. I would love to see you excel and take over this department, and I'm going to support you 100%. You know, so it was kind of that dynamic of allowing people to kind of come in on their own and buy in to the organization and want to contribute in a certain, you know, department, figure out where they belong to. And, and to this day, like I said, we have 40 people that are kind of active in our chat. So everybody kind of has an interest in certain departments. And so what we do at meetings is we split up into committees. So we have our heads of different departments, and then people that don't know where they want to get involved. Like, I've had so many people come up to me and they're like, hey, I want to get involved in Davis Rave Co. I have no idea how. I just want to get involved. And so I say, come to our meetings and then pick a committee, pick a department, and then just like sit in and conversate and like figure out, throw out ideas and figure out if this is what you see yourself doing, or if you want to try this, or start your own department. Like, all of those ideas, that dynamic, I want to foster. I want it to be welcomed. So I guess that, to answer your question.
No, I'm so glad you kind of went through that. And I was getting kind of a visual picture of how this is getting built, kind of almost like in like kind of this inner circle that you first have, which is Caden and Davis Rave Co. or DJ Malax, and how it just starts expanding, but then it becomes a web. So then there's lines that go to different circles and different circles, but that in itself turns into a bigger circle, you know? So it's like kind of seeing how this whole thing is a community, really, in an essence. And I think the really important part to note is that that model originally that you had, it is going to be really hard. And it's really cool that you noticed that. And I noticed that while you were speaking, for someone who's going into an outlet for musicians and artists. Of course, a musician and artist doesn't want to be told what to do.
Yeah,
and
they want to bring their own. Them.
No, you can't at all. As opposed to maybe if you want to do a McDonald's where it's all about efficiency and getting order and kind of a machine that is going to be able to self-replicate itself over and over again. But with Davis Ravco and having that kind of people, you can't do that. It has to be its own living organism that grows and expands based on the people that come in. So that's really cool. Just hearing you say that and kind of visualizing as you go on, I'm like, yeah, for that kind of model and business that you have, that's almost essential, you know, to what has to kind of what has to happen to make everyone happy and everyone engaged and really invested from what it sounds like.
Yeah. Because it's a project. It's a, it's a growing.
Yeah. I mean, and I like how you mention it like that. It's not a business, really. It's a project that you're working on.
Yeah. You use the word organism, and that couldn't be more than true. I mean, it's like a living being. It is something that is constantly changing, constantly evolving. By no means are we like a well-oiled machine completing like a task repetitively. You know, we throw these events, but no two events are alike and no two projects within the company are alike. And there's always new ideas that are coming out and people are always contributing and there's always a new conversation. And it's a living thing for sure.
Yeah. I want to ask and kind of know about how you set up maybe like routines in your life or like how do you set up time to do stuff or like how do you organize maybe certain events or just in your own personal life?
Yeah. So routine is, to be honest, like has been always been something that I've like struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
And by struggle, I mean like I don't have a hard time with it. It's just I don't like it. Routine for me, I don't know. I don't find that I'm efficient with a routine because and maybe that's an excuse. I haven't like dived into it too much. Because there's this like relationship between routine and discipline that I think is sometimes mixed, sometimes they're separate. But I'm just like working around the clock too, and I think that there's
that's why I wanted to ask you, because you're always grinding, man, and it shows. I mean, you know, it's very respectable,
And it's just like around the clock work. When you're a founder, you don't have time off. Literally around the clock, you are always pursuing new leads. You're always having meetings. Like last night, it was like midnight, and I got a text. Hey, can we set up a meeting with you at 10 in the morning? And so right before this, I had a meeting with somebody that set it up like 10 hours earlier, and I was like, yeah, sure. And so that's a new client that we're gonna have, and there's constantly the need to stay on top of everything, and you can't kind of get behind because. Especially as the leader of an organization, what you do is what other people perceive to be the standard.
Yeah.
You know? And if I am constantly in our voice chat on Discord, which that's something I've been trying to do a lot. Anytime I sit down on my computer, it's kind of like an open door policy, right? We don't have an office. We work all virtually. And so if I'm constantly in the voice chat, anybody can just pop in and like ask a question and say hi or just throw out an idea. And I invite that so much because I think, and maybe this is getting kind of off track of your original question. that is extremely important in fostering that sense of like commitment in an organization is because you as the leader, like I said, set the standard. So if you are like not putting in the work or if people perceive you as like, oh, why is Caden not, you know, helping out to do this? Or why is he not at this event? They feel like they can do, you know what I'm trying to say?
They can do the same thing.
Not that they get away with it, but it's like, that's not the standard anymore. You know, then you're not aspiring to kind of that level of commitment that I think I have in this organization and the passion that I have because you cultivate that in others and how you treat the members of your organization should be how you want them to treat your best customer. And that's applicable on a variety of different businesses because when you interact with the people that are contributing toward your organization, that becomes like the standard of communication, the standard of interaction, the standard of like respect that you have. And so that's how you want – you set the culture from the top down.
Yes.
And so okay, well, this is way off track from routine, but I feel like, yeah, I mean, that's just, I think it's very important, and is often overlooked with some organizations, but especially when we're working with creatives, you need to have that kind of passion and commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it is kind of setting a standard and making sure that, that people see that, well, let's give it a reverse, right? Let's say you're in a project or you're in a business or anything that you have, and the person starting it is not really like focused, not really motivated, you know, shows up, you know, way too late on time or anything to meetings, isn't on top of it. Well, how is your employees going to be like, oh, well, you know, if boss man's like this, or if like the leader of the business is like this, then that's probably how he wants the company to kind of be ran. And I can get it. And exactly, it's not like getting away with it, but you're right. It is kind of like the culture and making sure that people are able to understand where your intentions are, to kind of have people collectively come and
yeah,
be able to do something together. Yeah. Right. And so that's a great point.
Yeah. Something that I always do, I am really big on receiving feedback, and I like to, I think when I have conversations with people that are like business related, I am very transparent, very kind of straight to the point, you know? And so after like working with people, you begin to set up systems of how things are to be ran, and then you'll notice things like maybe this is inefficient, or maybe this communication link isn't as good as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly having conversations with people that are in this organization. How can I improve? How can I communicate better with you? What can I do to support you? Because those questions, I don't think are asked enough. I don't think you can ask them enough, because as long as you are opening that channel and you have that kind of road open for people to say, hey, I am kind of struggling. There's a lot of work on my plate right now. There's a lot that I'm juggling, and I kind of need to step back, or I need you to take over for me. If I can facilitate that conversation, if I can be the one to prompt that, then people don't feel like they can't have that conversation. You know, I want to grow the culture of this company to be very open. The communication should always be there to kind of criticize openly about anything, because I think that is a shortcut to efficiency and growth, because a lot of conflict can be solved by just kind of talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I don't say ignorant to say, but it's easy to say, you know, you just talk about it, right? But it's not just to have that conversation, it's to have like the type of conversation and to ask the right questions and to just be there to support. Because at the end of the day, like doing 10 events, 12 a month, 12 events a month is a lot of work for people, and everyone is passionate about what we're doing and we're all bought in, but it still is a lot of work. I mean, people have lives outside of DRC. I don't know if I do, but I people do. And so if I can, like, I need to be able to understand that, to facilitate the conversations, to say, hey, let me help you here. Like, let me bring some people in to help you here. Let me take this responsibility and kind of move it over here. So it becomes this game of like chess, moving pieces around to make sure everybody feels like they're valued, that their voice is heard, that their contribution is recognized as well. And so it becomes a lot of different things to make sure that everybody feels like they're part of this family within the company, you know?
Yeah. Did you come into starting Davis Rave Co. thinking that it was going to expand into a bigger base of the amount of people that you have? Or did you think more it was going to be more smaller and maybe just have like a smaller group? Like, how did you plan it out originally? Or from what you're telling me, you kind of had a list or an idea of where you wanted Davis Rave Co. to go. So was that kind of part of the plan of where you saw it going?
I don't know. I mean, it's constantly evolving, the idea where I want to take this. I mean, because like I said, like I've already given up so much power, so much control and direction over the company. it's not completely up to me anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like I said, that was just something that I had to like deal with, because you can only grow so much before you have to like, you have a cap on what one person can do.
Yeah.
And so you need to bring more people on to increase the potential amount of output mm-hmm. that the company has. And along with that, you have to like compromise your ability to overpower, you know, the whole company. And so I don't know, quantity of people that I expected, like, to give you, I don't know, to give you perspective, when I first started Davis Raveco, initially it was this Instagram account that I used to promote local events. And it's changed a lot from then. And that was 2 years. And so there's ideas of where we want to take this in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. But it's just so open-ended too. Like, we're not just a one-size-fits-all company. We're not like a, we're not a McDonald's, you know? Like you were saying, the dynamic of what we do isn't efficiency-based. It's not output-based. It's not metrics. We're not like, you take those things into consideration, but at the end of the day, I call Davis Raveco a creative agency mm-hmm. because that's very broad in terms of what we can offer and what we can do. And so the team right now, I mean, I do see it growing to scale. I would say what's next, like the phase two, you could say, would be to have the current people that are directors promote leads under their department and then kind of scale that way, so that you would have like, let's say the community team has, well, let's say the art team, mm-hmm. they have like, you know, five people and then one lead, one director. In the next few months, what would probably happen is that that director would promote three leads who have responsibility in more of like a niche item, a mm-hmm. niche or thing, sector. To, a yeah. sector that they yeah. do, you know? One would be like creative installations at the show, you know? So like building really big sculptures to have like decorative elements at our shows. And that would be one department under art. The next one would be like designing apparel. And then the next one would be like designing the digital assets that we have. So all like the digital marketing and whatnot. And so again, that's just an example of how you would facilitate that growth, is to have like one person promote people underneath them who then promote under people, you know, and then you continue to grow that way. And then at the end of the, and then like a year down the road, the art team is like as big as Davis Raveco is right now. Mm-hmm. And that's just the art team, you know? Yeah. And then you can grow even bigger where you have, you replicate your system that you have, you know, in one area. So Davis, and you'd create like a Berkeley Raveco, or
yeah.
you'd create like a Santa Cruz, you know what I mean? Like, and, yeah. and then you have your system that works. People are experienced. They know they've dealt with the problems that you're going to deal with in a startup. And so they know how to tackle them. And so if you can take those people, teach other people, or teach a group and then move on, teach a group, move on. And then that's a way to scale. I mean, then to be honest, I have no idea where this is going to be in a year.
Yeah. Like it's just hard. It's yeah. I mean, you could have an idea of it, but like what you said, it's just, there's so many people involved now that it has to be collective group of where that direction is headed. But I think it is your mm-hmm. job though to figure out how that, well, I like to still say organism, like is headed towards, you know, or where that, yeah. you know, or yeah. where the creative agency is leading, because you're at the top of it. So you have to be able to foresee.
You gotta steer the boat.
Yeah. 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 Or just at least know where the winds are coming from. Right.
That's a good one. Yeah. Exactly. No, that is very yeah. true. And we're receiving so many, like inbound leads right now for new possibilities of growth for the company, whereas before, and it's kind of cool to see, and it's very fulfilling too, because like 2 years ago, I was knocking on like Davis downtown businesses trying to get them to sponsor an event of ours, and nobody gave me the time of day. They're like, who are you? What are you doing? No. Like, what are you asking for? Free? No. And so now what's really cool is that organizations that are really, really big and are well-established are reaching out to us. Like, we've made enough of a splash. We are making big enough waves that we are noticed by, I mean, I won't get into details because this is like, you know, a 2025 thing that may happen,
yeah,
but
yeah.
the people that put on Coachella, you know? So mm-hmm. like we are talking with big organizations who have been doing things for years, big things, that see us as like legitimate, you know? We're undeniable. Like if you look at our at the events we've hosted, at the stuff we've done, like nobody else is doing this, you know? And that's really cool because people are noticing.
Yeah.
So it's very fulfilling.
It's a really cool feeling. I bet. I mean, right now with my, you know, with it's so funny too that you mentioned you're like, let's do Berkeley Raveco. I told Grant, I was like, all right, so basically we're going to start, because for ours, it's like, it's not a creative outlet. It is partially, but it is mostly on the people. And this is just me just like thinking, because it's like, well, you know, I'm still waiting on this one person to look over the contract. So I'm like, okay, it's my first go, right? So I guess I'm very behind on the process of like, I guess I have an idea of where I want to take things, but just a hands-on experience of the business itself is going to still be presented to me in the future. But I told them, I'm like, all right, let's start making an SOP about everything. Let's start like making sure that we kind of document everything that we're doing so that people can just replicate it. Boom. It's like a franchise. Here you go. Here's this living organism, right? Here's this machine, which is kind of harder for your model, but maybe there's a way. I don't know. But it's like, boom, here's the binder. Here's all the resources. I have the website, everything. Go make, you know, Chico Vending Company, right? Yep. And then if you need to contact us, well, here we are. If you need help on your website, here we are, right? If you need any feedback on the contract or anything, here we are. Like kind of being like a backbone. So when you mentioned that, I was like, that's so funny, man.
I mean, there's like I said, we're figuring this out as we go.
I think that's the only way to really
with the punches. Nobody knows what they're doing.
No, no one knows what they're
figuring out as
they
go.
Yeah. But it's the insights that you learn along the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, first-hand experience, you just can't, it's not teachable.
No.
You mentioned routine earlier and then like having SOPs. And that reminds me of this, like this quote that I heard, and it's how does it go? You live up to your goals as much as you fall to your systems. And so we can be really ambitious with the goals that we set out for ourselves. But at the same time, we have to be very wary of the systems that we have in place to which we function under, the SOPs, the culture of the company, the team dynamic, the communication. Because if we're unable to reach the goals that we have and we hit a wall or we are faced with like a problem that is going to be really hard to tackle, what's going to come into play is that system that we have. How we operate, our foundation, like I said, the culture, that's going to come into play. So it's important to keep that in mind too, because I think I'm a very, very ambitious person, but I need to balance that with the systems, the routine, you know? And so you mentioned like, you asked me about routine earlier. And so like one thing I like to do is just like go on a walk sometimes to just no distractions, just kind of go on a walk, because that'll free your thoughts to just kind of go crazy and kind of go wherever they want. And you remember things that you thought you forgot, and you have new ideas, and you find inspiration from like the smallest things. But if you're able to nail down some really good systems, a really good company culture, a really good team dynamic, channels of communication, that's what's going to be the thing that gets you through the walls that you hit, the barriers that you're met with, the challenges that you're confronted with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is good. It is good to find time for yourself, really, to kind of get into the spaces of where you need to be. I noticed that I have to do that quite a bit. And I kind of, there's another quote where it's like, you know, meditate for 20 minutes a day. And if you don't have time to meditate for 20 minutes, meditate for an hour.
Yeah.
And it's like, it can be any form, right? Like walking or anything. It just depends on the style of what you're doing. But sometimes you get caught up in so much stuff that you kind of ignore or fail to hear yourself, really kind of that the voice in the back of your head that has these ideas, and you need to make sure that. Because I think you already believe that you're a very creative person. And no matter what, that's something that's going to stay with you, and that's what empowers you, you know, to this day. So it really is setting time for yourself to be able to really see, like, you know, like, it is important for me to stay with my thoughts because I know who I am. And I know no matter what, the answer is going to come to me because I believe in myself as a person that mm-hmm. this is kind of who I am. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of mm-hmm. hard to describe, you know, it's kind of hard to describe how you get that feeling of like, I have a need or a desire to build something bigger than myself. Or something that might take on and do, you know, great things, you know, and you know, and just keep going and going. It's hard to explain. Some people yeah. have it, you know? And,
yeah.
So you just have to recognize that it's really important that you respect that of yourself, right? And you give that yourself that time.
Yeah. Yeah. To create something that outlasts you, you know, to
yeah.
create a culture, a community, a company, whatever it may be that outlives you.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point too, and this kind of reminded me of the conversation we were having earlier about just like team dynamic and growth and scaling. It's at some point I realized, you know, I was working in the business a lot. You know, I was the one that was doing a lot of the planning, the just everything. You work in your business, right, mm-hmm. to grow it. But at some point you have to step back and work on your business. You know, you have to like take yeah. that perspective and say, okay, now it's my turn to give up control. People are taking over. Like, it's going to be okay. You don't need to micromanage. Let them do their thing. You need to step back and look big picture. Where is the boat going to be? How are you going to steer? Like, where 1 year, 2 year? You have to have those kind of conversations with yourself, and that comes through the form of, like, meditating or walking or just kind of alone time where you can think big picture, because it's really, really easy. And I think this is a lot. This is one of the mistakes that I think keeps small businesses small, is that you never graduate from that, because it's easy to get caught up in the day to day, and it's hard to give up control because you want things to be a certain way. But when you have a project of people contributing their own ideas and kind of putting in their own time and perspective, it becomes necessary for you to step back and kind of allow the group to work and do their thing, because they're going to figure it out. You figured it out. Like, it can be done. Mm-hmm. People can do it.
Yeah.
You've set the standard. You've given them the tools, the resources. Allow them to do it. Take a step back and ask yourself what's the next step for the company? Like, if you want to stay small, great. That's fine. If you want to scale, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to go? What's the company going to look like in a year, 2 years?
That is so cool that you mentioned that, because I had a conversation with Alex, the guy outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Alex. I made a podcast with him. I don't know if he
mentioned that. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it was a really good one. But he always gives me books, right? And one of the books that he gave me is Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What We mm-hmm. Can Do About Them. And
I'll have to add that to my book list.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And guess what? There's three people that live inside of you when you start a business. There's the entrepreneur, there's the manager, and there's the technician. And so technician wants to be able to work exactly, kind of chug the line. He wants to have a system that he's able to do over and over again and work on the not work on the business, but like get the day-to-day things done. He likes doing that. Like, imagine my role as an aircraft mechanic. I have fun being able to open into the manual, finding out, maybe having to do some kind of troubleshooting, but there's a standard of how I get things done, and then mm-hmm. I head home. The manager is making sure that maybe in that aircraft maintenance hangar, that everything is organized so that people most efficiently can grab the tools that they need, all the manuals and instructions are up to date. You know, because they get updated every 15 or 30 days. So it has to be, you know, you can't just have a paper copy anymore. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And you have to have it in front of you, because mm-hmm. if the FAA comes in, they'll audit, you know, well, not audit, but like they'll be like, hey, man, you know, give me your license. And then you can't work anymore, because you're supposed to have the instructions in front of you, instead of being like, well, I've done this a million times. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then there's the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is, all right, I have this maintenance hanger. Now, how can I get this maintenance hanger and get it to somewhere else? How do I get more clients? How am I able to expand where I am right now? Do I want to expand more, or will I spread too thin on money? or you know, or do I want to add a partner and do this, right? So you can't do all three at once. It's impossible.
Yeah,
especially when you're starting to grow. So it is so cool that you mentioned that, because I'm getting that from reading from the book. You're getting that from hands-on experience. There is this one topic that people can go and listen to if they want, about Alex, about how businesses and people ourselves are pretty much the same thing. And they were using science, and he recommended this book, and I forgot, how your body works in a certain way and, you know, has an internal clockwork of how things are done, because ourselves are really, we're a business in ourselves, and that can go as deep or as literal as you want to go. And the same thing as a business is like a living organism, or, you know, or a living being that has its own breath and takes its own direction. And I knew that, and he was mentioning that, and I'm like, oh, I know this from my personal experience. He knew that from reading this book. So I was like, that's really cool that you're learning that from your experience, you know? And it's like there's people that have done it before you, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's the easy way to – my dad always told me there's the easy way and there's the hard way. Like,
you can. I love the hard way, unfortunately.
But sometimes the hard way is necessary if you don't – like, if you're not able to understand it the easy way. But this is something I've realized. Like, any problem with business that you run into, somebody's dealt with before.
Yeah.
Any problem. And it doesn't need to be specific to, like, the industry. Doesn't need to be specific to, like, the scope of work that you're doing. It's literally just a people thing is what it comes down to. People are your biggest asset in a company. And learning to work with people is the most important skill, in my opinion. And there are so many resources out there that have answers and experience and perspectives to that problem, or to that, you know, just realm of potential that are people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's the easy way and there's the hard way. And there's so much reason, especially now too. Like, we're young, we grew up on this like age of information, you know, YouTube university.
Yeah.
So there's so literally much that you can learn for free that's just out there.
Yeah, yeah, and it's ridiculous, and it's like, it's hard to think, like, people will think like, oh, like, I'm alone in the process of doing this. It doesn't have to be business; it can be anything, you know. But I bet you someone's done it before, or maybe had it worse than you, and they probably figured some shit out. You know?
yep. I always kind of tell myself people have done a lot more with a lot less, and so whenever like things get hard, or you find yourself complaining about something, like, and that's something too, like. The problems that I think I have right now are pretty good problems to have.
I'm so glad you said
that. I'm pretty fortunate that I have the problems that I do. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh no, we have, you know, to host 12 shows next month. Yeah. How are we going to do it? That's a pretty great good problem to have. That's a, like, oh no, I'm working with like, you know, these bands who want this type of sound system or whatever. You get to work with some pretty cool people in this industry, you know, and it's a really cool style of work, a really cool dynamic. I'm not confined to a location. I'm not confined to like an hourly schedule. And so that's something kind of you think about, you know, is to keep yourself humble. It's we have some pretty good problems, you know.
You don't know how many people have said that like in the past 3 days. I'm like in like more in a personal than business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, if this is a problem I'm having, or, you know, then it's a pretty good problem to have.
Then
you know,
so be
my
it,
life,
you know?
Yeah, it's like, my life could be way worse. You know what I mean? Or, like I could be somewhere I totally want to be. But if this is what I'm complaining about, this is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's so funny, because those exact same words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true. It comes back to, like, learning the easy way or the hard way, because I think it is important to be put in those situations where it does suck. And the problems that you have are not those good problems to have. Like, the problems are pretty big problems.
Yeah.
Because then you have that perspective when they're not that hard, you know? Then you're like, oh, I have lived through something that I don't want to live through again. And so this is, like, pretty easy. This isn't that bad, you know? How's the quote go? It's like, I've weathered enough storms not to be bothered by some rain.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely recognizing what problems deserve immediate attention to, as opposed to what are ones that we can, you know, forecast for a certain amount of time, I'm sure is an important aspect that you're starting to learn.
Yeah. Risk assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge, especially in this industry, you know, when you're working with, I mean, we hit like what, 2000 event attendees year to date. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah. Congrats, thank you. It's just like, there's a lot of people involved in this work. You know, you're dealing with a lot of potential risk, and some problems deserve immediate attention, and others are like, okay, we can like push that back for now.
Yeah.
So that's just like, I don't really know how, I don't know if that's taught. I don't know where you learn that. You just kind of have to like
trial and error, I think.
Trial and error. Yeah. And make some mistakes.
Yeah.
You have to make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause it's like for people, I mean, the podcast is about people that maybe are interested into some aspects of, well, I guess the three things that I mentioned every episode, at the beginning of every episode. But it's so important to realize that how people have gotten to where they are, they've had to go through some deep shit, you know? Yeah. And it's like, and a lot of it, sometimes it won't be talked on the podcast when I bring people over, or it's just in everyday lives. It's like people go through some heavy shit and they have all of this. And despite that, they still learn to be able to make these mistakes, to be able to grow and just be confident in their ability to learn and their ability to be creative, and just continue on and like what you're saying, roll with the punches, you know? And so I think that's so great that you're mentioning that, because it's like you just have to go in and put in the work and you're going to start learning. Even right now for me, like kind of just starting something, and it's like, it's not even something that I like, I'd like to get something standard. So it's like, great. It's a great source of flow or income. But like, I don't want to do vending machines for like the rest of my life. Right. Yeah. I think it'd be cool, cause I like building something and I want something where it's community centric. People get to, you know, be a part of something bigger, even if they're more on the client side too. But you know, my passion's aviation, but really I keep seeing that it's an overall just wanting to build and make stuff. Yeah. And, you know, if something that I make doesn't work out, great. Mm-hmm. What can I learn from it?
Yeah.
What kind of questions can I ask myself so that maybe I can go back and see what works, you know, and then keep going, because I'm confident in being able to just fall back and knowing that I've been through some hard shit. You know, right now what I'm going through, it's a good problem to have.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Making mistakes is such an important thing, though. And it's hard in the moment, but looking back on the mistakes you've made, you're going to be able to, like, tie back decisions that you make now to a mistake that you made earlier, you know? And I find that a lot. Like, I've made some mistakes in this industry. And so it's like, but there are, like, I've built up this intuition now, or like this ability to, you know, assess risk based off of like the mistakes that I've made.
Yeah.
And so mistakes that would cost me a lot more now, I made for a lot less earlier, you know? And so, make mistakes. Making mistakes is a good thing.
Yes. It's a great thing. Don't feel like it's bad. You don't have to be perfect. I'm sure maybe in the beginning you felt like you had to have a model that was like working exactly how you want it to. But I think it's just like, just kind of figuring out that it's going to happen how it's going to happen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And just kind of being okay with, cause I think, specific to this industry, or I guess just Davis Ravco, art escapes, right? It doesn't get released. It escapes.
Mm.
And so when you have like something that you're creating, for us, it's like an experience, right? It's an event. At some point, it's going to happen, and the experience itself is going to escape, and you can't control 100% of it, because when there's so many people involved and so many perspectives, it's going to be something that it's going to turn into something you didn't think it was going to turn into. But that's the beauty of it, because art escapes, you know? And where was I trying to go with this? Oh, yeah. Looking back on like a year ago, if I were to like be a consultant for myself a year ago, I would do things so differently. But it's the fact that like I didn't, and that I had those mistakes, and that I didn't do things perfectly, or far from perfect even, that I was able to like do them a little bit better now, you know? I mean, I told you about the whole hiring thing, the first team that we had versus who we have now. And I mean, don't get me wrong. The first team we had was great. It's just that was on me to kind of build that passion in them, which I failed to do. And so because that was a mistake that I made early on, now we have such a successful team right now, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then a part of that is also like giving me that understanding that I have of things are going to happen and people are going to learn, mistakes are going to happen, helps me be okay with like giving up that power to other people and saying, okay, for this company to grow, I need to just like relinquish control over like these few things and then people can just take over because
or delegate really to be able to keep that entrepreneurship role to see where the company is headed towards.
Give like this was something recently that we did with an event that we hosted in Sacramento. We had two people on the team want to like do their own show. They wanted to pioneer, like they wanted to spearhead this project. And so I gave them like parameters, I gave them resources, I gave them some advice and kind of weekly checkups, but the rest was completely on them. And because they had all that freedom and that kind of that experience of figuring it out on their own, they are so much more well-equipped to handle an event now on their own because they went through a lot of what I went through like a year ago trying to figure out how this whole thing works, you know?
And they had that consultant, right?
Just like if I'm able to help them out a little bit and say like, hey, this was an experience that I went through, a mistake that I made. Here's how I would recommend avoiding this obstacle, be a little more efficient with it. Here's what I would do. I'm not saying you have to. Yeah. It's just it worked for me. And what works for me doesn't always work for other people. No, and what works for somebody may not work for somebody else. And so
that's why it's advice, right?
Exactly. But
they have it in the back of their mind.
Exactly. Especially when you're working with like creative people, you know?
Yeah. Very you can't tell them what to do.
No, not at all. And that's just something really big with us too. When this is like a pillar for Davis Rave Co. When we book an artist to come perform at our show, we are booking that artist and everything that they come with, you know? So if they want to do a show their way and bring out their creativity in a way that like may not align with what we thought the show would be, then we don't book them, you know? That's not the if we want to book people, it's because we want to book you to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. If you want to bring your creative passion and your perspective on a new event, then we'll book you and that event will be very much catered to what you put it on to be, you know? Mm-hmm. Like maybe I'm speaking kind of broad here, but like the gist of what I'm trying to say is I will not book a DJ and restrict them to playing a certain genre of music just because the event calls for it. If we're hosting like a house music show and I want to book this DJ, but this DJ doesn't play house music typically, it would be wrong of me to try to like have this DJ conform to my event. And that's just something we've always wanted to do, is give complete creative freedom up to the artists that we book, because that is when they're allowed to kind of take the reins on the show and create something that they want to create. Because like I mentioned at the very beginning, we want to provide that platform, those resources for creatives to do their thing. And I don't want to restrict them too much, you know, and say, hey, you know, confine your art to these parameters or do what you do, but this way, you know, I feel like wrong doing that with artists, you know?
Yeah. No, that's so cool. You definitely opened my eyes up there, kind of just like, you're totally right. And, you know, if you're going to bring someone to the team, you're bringing them and all the way they like doing a certain thing. Yeah. And like maybe they like things done a certain way. You have to be okay with that. So definitely researching on the person that you want to bring, you know, to perform based on what the event calls. You have to make sure that when they're very creative or you know, showing their max potential, is that it'll align with what the event calls for too, so that they can go out and do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah,
that's like kind of like a new thing that I guess I'm gonna play around with that idea, I guess, probably for the next few days and see how it just applies in different things.
I mean, I think art is, and this has opened my eyes too, and just doing what I've been doing with Davis Rave Co., is that art is surrounding us wherever we go. Steve Jobs has this really cool perspective, and he explains it by saying that if you look around and you look at, like, you know, everything that has been built, everything that surrounds us, that we, that makes up life, that was built by somebody no smarter, no more capable than you are, you know?
Yeah.
And so who's to say that you can't change what we perceive life to be, what surrounds you, what you make up, everything from your daily routine to the people that you interact with, how you interact with people, what you choose to create, how you live your life, everything. There are no parameters, you know? You can be, that's what art is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very creative. It's very expressive. And so that realization, I think, is really beautiful because it's thinking very ambitiously, but in, like, an art-centered way, you know? So it's, mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. It's a cool realization that I think about a lot.
Yeah. I think it's been great to kind of hear how a combination of starting a business and trying to incorporate that into an art world is just so, it's so different and really refreshing to what I've had on the podcast. Because I know entrepreneurs are really creative themselves, but oh my God, you have to take it a whole new level when you're working with other artists. And it's been really cool listening to how that works and how you're getting everything built. And really, it's just, you know, I'm sure you go out and you learn from different books and resources, but really you're also finding out based on what you're doing in the moment, and you're really mm-hmm. learning and trying to expand and think about what you've learned and how you can apply that later on, so a mistake isn't made again, or just figuring out how to work together with different people and delegate. And I really like how you were talking about feedback, because that was a question I had, because it's like when it's a company so big, you know, how do you make sure you're able to ask the right questions so that things are getting tailored into the direction of where you think it needs to go?
Yeah.
And especially I loved hearing about the fact that it's hard to transition to being the person that is full-time in your job of what you do, but at some point you have to know that you're the creative person in an aspect where you want to see your company grow and expand into different things.
Yeah.
And so sometimes having to let go of some aspects for you to envision and start going to different aspects to where you really feel your calling is towards mm-hmm. is really important to do. So yeah. I think it's been really
hit
cool.
on a lot of fun. We did. A lot of cool conversations.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So that's been great. Thank you so much, man. Is there, please, you know, say to our audience how they can reach out to you and how they can find you.
Yeah. So we're on Instagram at davisrave.co. That's where most of our kind of communication is. Our website is davisraveco.com. Check us out there. Like I said, we host events a lot, pretty frequently. So mainly around like the Davis Sacramento area. Like I said, there's some potential of hosting up and down California. I was just in Hawaii this past week. So,
nice. What island?
I was in Oahu visiting my sister and had a few meetings with some people there who are in the industry and mm-hmm. you know, potentially some monthly events out there. We'll see.
That's awesome. We'll see. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, catch us anywhere. We're going to start an apparel line soon. So anybody that's not in the area, shipping internationally.
Wait, what's apparel line?
Apparel.
Oh, apparel. Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
So we have these shirts, but our art team is currently working on something a little bit bigger. So
yeah, I really like those shirts too.
Thank you. Do you have one?
I do have one. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I definitely wear it. I was going to try to wear it today, but I was like, there was an outfit that I was wearing, I think like 2 days ago. And I was like, no, I need to wear it. For this
day.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But I do try to show it off and let people know that, like, you know, like, hey, you know, this guy's really cool and he has a lot of good things to say.
Thank you, Daniel. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you having me on this podcast. This is something we wanted to work on for a while now and we just kind of made it happen. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'll have to have you on the Davis Raveco podcast sometime too once that gets back. You know, we start that up again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess you'll have to find out how it all works in the pieces of what Davis Raveco is and how
and the
to
chaos
that.
Of all. Yep. Yep.
Well,
yep.
There's beauty we'll in that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so. Oh, is there something you want to leave with the audience behind? Just
make mistakes. Yeah. Make mistakes. Shout out the whole Davis Raveco team too. I mean, everyone's put in so much passion and we are where we are because of everybody that's been involved. Everybody that comes to our shows, to everybody that runs the shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Everyone matters because
absolutely.
Without anybody there, you know, and just you, it's like, it's not really Davis Ravko in the way that it is now. Yeah. You need everyone in your team. And from what it looks like, you have an incredible team. So you're very lucky.
No. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, Daniel, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kaden. I really appreciate your time, man.